Alright guys, so we're back. A long-awaited return. I've been gone for a few weeks, so I decided to do a full Q&A session here on the podcast for episode number 57. But before we do that, I have to shout out Vivo Barefoot, vivobarefoot.com. Those are the shoes that I've been utilizing for my training when it comes to weightlifting and cross training. Also, all of my athletes are actually utilizing them too as well for full foot functionality to help with increasing the strength of the intrinsic muscles of the feet, but also very stylish in my opinion. So go ahead, check them out, vivobarefoot.com. Use the discount code DRUSTRONG to get 10% off your final purchase. Now let's get on to these Q&As that I got from my Instagram. Here we go.
Mind somewhere else and keep going. That little voice in your head is trying to stop you from getting to where you want to be. Be successful and keep moving forward.
With your host and world-renowned strength and conditioning coach, Phil DeRue.
Alright, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over the questions that you've given on my Instagram. Now, I got these questions yesterday based off of the post. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go with the newest and then go to the oldest. So the first one that comes up is in_the_gym_today. Obviously, he's in the gym today. So what I'm going to do is answer this question first. Currently training twice a day, 5 a.m. weights and 5 p.m. cardiovascular training. Although the training is going fairly well, can you offer any training or diet advice to maximize gains while losing body fat? So for the most part, you want to find out your basal metabolic rate. That's going to give you the understanding of where your caloric intake lies from a resting standpoint. Then from there, you can base your caloric output or your caloric intake off of that. And if you are looking to lose some body fat, you want to make sure that you're doing some type of high intensity intervals, because that is going to help you with a metabolic increase, will help with fat burning process. Also, more frequency of weight training. So more frequency of weight training will build muscle and help you burn body fat. So if you're looking at it from a basic standpoint, you say you are training consistently, I would say do about 4 to 5 times a week, and then you're doing 2-a-days with your cardio being primarily cardiovascular. Now I don't know exactly what that means. It could be anything. I'll need a little bit more context on that. But for cardio work in general, I would work on high intensity intervals for just body fat reduction. And then on your off days of your weight training, you can also do some aerobic capacity work, one for restorative efforts and also to help you with calorie deficit or just bringing down the calories. Again, if you're looking to burn that body fat, that will help, because again, you're taking in, or you're doing more than what you're taking in, okay? So I hope that helps. Next question. Nico Trauma wrote, best way to build shoulder exclusivity or explosiveness, strength and muscle. So when you're looking at shoulder strength, explosive power, whatever, you want to look at the force vectors that are going to enhance that. Plus you also want to look at the patterns with shoulders in general, and I'm particularly thinking about anterior delts, right? So anything from a vertical press or horizontal press, but more from a 45 degree angle, is definitely going to work the shoulders. If you're doing something that is more limited range of motion, let's say from a board press or a floor press, something like that, that you're not coming all the way down and overstretching and having to hit the pecs, you can use that too as well. So floor press, board press, overhead presses, and incline bench presses will help with the strength. And when you're talking about strength, you're looking at force being applied. So you need to have an adequate amount of tension on a barbell, dumbbell, you know, whatever have you to produce force to get stronger. Now, when it comes down to power production, I like to use ballistic style training. And when you're looking at it from a strength or a special strength perspective, you want to increase your speed strength and you want to increase your explosive strength. Now that's going to be higher velocities, but with force being applied to that particular movement. So that can be anything like a med ball throw overhead or horizontal. A plyo push-up would be really good too as well, and landmine variations. When you're looking to increase explosive power, you want to eliminate the deceleration. So you're going to accelerate through the entire movement, which will enhance your ability to create force fast, and also there is, again, no slowing down of that movement. So when you're looking at that, again, look at the force vectors, look at what you're trying to accomplish from a range of motion perspective, and then you can go from there. Coach, catch kilos. You can only pick one exercise the rest of your life. This is like a standard question, like everybody, but I'll answer it. You can only pick one exercise the rest of your life for overall strength, power. What's your go-to? Oh man, that's a loaded question. Like and I've gotten this question many times in the past, and usually it changes based upon my experiences, based upon the circumstances that I have now. From a strength and power perspective, I would say any type of landmine variations, believe it or not, because it's so versatile. Depending on the load, depending on how much force you're putting into the bar, like I said in the past question, I would use that because it's a very simplistic, efficient way to get those methods worked, right? To increase the strength, to increase the power based upon, again, what load you have on the bar and how you go as far as an intent perspective. Okay, so if I had to do it, I would say a landmine, any landmine variation, and then an exercise. Can't really pick a true exercise, but I'll go with one just to answer the question. I would say a prowler push, whether it be a heavy prowler push or explosive repeats with the prowler. So a prowler or a landmine variation are my two go-tos for what this question asks. Okay, next question. Penman13 says, which two of your training programs would you run at the same time? So right now I would probably run Body Armor, which is a body weight only program. And I would also run my Fight Ready program, which is an 8-week build up to your fight. So if you are an athlete or someone who wants to get in shape like a fighter, you can utilize this, especially if you don't have all the other training demands like an MMA fighter would have if they are a pro or an amateur trying to get ready for a fight. You can utilize Body Armor in between the days of your weight training to enhance everything. So Body Armor and Fight Ready are my two go-tos. Okay, next question. I've seen many exercises from you about max strength, speed strength, and explosive power. But what are some good exercises for strength, speed, and how can you combine them in your fight camp? Okay, so it's not about the exercises, it's more about the variation, the variables, how you go about producing force with the intent, because that's another special strength. When you're looking at speed strength, you're looking primarily at 0.8 to 1.0 meters per second. When you're looking at strength speed, primarily you're looking at anywhere from 0.75 to maybe 0.65, somewhere around there. You'll get different answers from this, whether you're talking to Brian Mann, Coach Brian Mann, or you're talking to Louis Simmons. Everybody has their own particular categorizations of what that is from a special strength perspective. But just know that when you're looking at strength speed, you need to make sure that its submaximal loads move with the highest intent. Way I put that into play from my own condensed conjugate model is I use that for the supplemental lifts. So I'll do a main lift that has high correlation over to the sport, training the muscles that cross the joint that are going to allow for better movement quality to occur inside the sport practice. And then I'm going to use whatever I see break down from a muscular standpoint and work in a supplemental movement in a strength speed perspective to help eliminate any lag or reduce the weaknesses that you have in that range. Okay, so that's where I would put it in inside my program. Other than that, when you want to progress it, you would progress it with variables. So you can progress it with band tension, you can progress it with more chain weight, or you can progress it with just overall bar weight. But the main focus is going to be usually around 3 to 5, maybe 6 repetitions, and you're looking right around 80% at max for that particular movement in a supplemental movement for your strength speed. Okay, next question. Same person. When you are off camp besides sled drags and working on your aerobic base, should you do compound movements like bench press and squats to prepare yourself for the max strength loads in camp? And if yes, how should you combine them in your program? All right, so I go over a lot of this in my mentorship program. So if you do want to find out in more in-depth detail, check out my mentorship program and I'll go over all of that. But what I will say is this, off camp, I want to get worked on what we have as far as from a in bias standpoint. So if you're a bias more towards a compression, or I would say more towards, you know, being folded over or have some anterior compression, we want to get you out of that bias and we want to increase your full body's functionality. So the reason why I say compression and expansion, that's a PRI terminology, but what I'm basically saying is that if an athlete is more compressed anteriorly, if they have that kyphotic posture, we want to pull them out of that. We want to use exercises that are going to get them out of that position so that they can be stronger and have less compensation patterns built in over time. So let's say, for instance, you have an athlete that is compression biased, right, and they're anteriorly compressed. We will do something that has to do with, that's going to expand them in the anterior chain. So I would do an axial load barbell back squat. You can do something like a front foot elevated split squat. You can do compound movements, especially if they need more overall abilities from an efficiency of movement standpoint. If they need to get in the weight room or they have no real experience in the weight room, we want to get the main compound movements worked on so that it can enhance the quality of the athlete going further and we can work on things from a higher dynamic standpoint. With that being said, I do not take away single leg movements. I think single leg movements do have a place. I like to work them in, especially in the supplemental exercises. And again, we're working away from their bias. So I'm going to get them away from either a compression or expansion strategy, and then I'm going to work into those positions and work on getting them stronger in those positions so that there is no true compensation that where it's going to hinder their performance going down the line once we get into camp. Okay, next question. Okay, this is from Ayas Malukas. Few words of advice for strength and conditioning coaches on how to bring up their game or bring their game to the next level. A lot of things that are gonna come to mind, but for the most part, it's leveling up your value, right? So you need to learn more, you need to experience more, you need to get in certain circumstances and start to grow as an individual first and foremost. That's gonna enhance your quality of coaching, that's gonna allow you to be a better leader. So getting in certain circumstances, working through all these situations are going to allow you to be better. So not just working with athletes, but working with general public, also working with kids, getting a wide array of experience with all different styles and types of clients and athletes. That's gonna help you level up your game. Now on top of that, you also have to make sure that you're learning each and every day, right? So you wanna learn on things that maybe not even inside of the industry. Take yourself away, detach yourself from the industry, and learn things that you need to learn on a broad scale. Life learning. That's gonna help allow you to be a better person, that's gonna allow you to be a better communicator, and that's gonna allow you to be a better coach. So that's my advice for you, is to take a step back, look at your life, see what you need to improve upon, have some self-awareness, and make it happen. All right, next question. Jay Lay the. When it comes to the traditional boxing, do you suggest sprints or running? And I'm guessing you mean jogging, running long distance or sprinting. I do believe you need both. When it comes down to boxing in general, there's a general consensus that the old school approach would be just running long distance. The new school approach is now sprinting and doing short sprint intervals. I do believe that you need both for the cadence of the particular sport, right? So the rhythms of the sport allow you to be explosive, but also be able to move and move more consistently. So you're gonna need to increase your anaerobic and your aerobic responses. You're gonna need to increase your utilization of oxygen and your delivery of oxygen. You're gonna need to enhance the ability to produce force fast, but also be able to sustain that output for a longer duration. So I do believe you need both to enhance the quality of boxing performance, but it has to be structured accordingly. Another program that I've written up that has both of these in there is Heavy Hitter, which is a boxing program. It's a 12-week boxing program that you can get now. It's on my website. I highly recommend that. All right, next question. All right, following along the lines of that, TJ Cobbs asked me, how often should I do road work in sprints to last longer in the ring? Now, this is going to be subjective towards the individual. So it is going to depend on your abilities. It's going to depend on your game plan. It's going to depend on your overall athletic background. So for the most part, if you want to structure it evenly throughout the time, I usually have my guys do 2 to 3 road work sessions or long, slow distance energy aerobic capacity sessions a week. And that's more for restorative work and to just maintain, if not anything, your aerobic capacity. And then you're going to do 3 sprint interval workouts, which is going to be somewhat with a load or with an incline, whether it be on stadium stair runs or hill sprints, and then something of a flat terrain so that you can sprint and sprint with maximal velocity. So those are the 3. So your 3 sprints and then 2 to 3 aerobic capacity workouts along with your boxing training. MLT Second wrote, what type of programming would you recommend a 51-year-old male that still loves to train? So with the older population, especially with the males, we got to make sure that we are still strength training. So we got to make sure that we're doing more functional movements. And what I mean by that is working in multi-directional patterns, picking things up, actually putting them down, carrying things, flipping tires, sledgehammer slams, you know, strongman type movements, but also making sure that you're safe, working on compound movements as well, you know, bilateral squats, deadlifts, things of that nature that are going to enhance your strength overall, give you more bone density, and also allow you to have full functionality for everyday life, right? So again, picking things up off the ground, putting them up on shelves, flipping tires, like I said before, carrying things, whether it be stones, med balls, sandbags, farmer's carries or farmer's walks, that's going to be very good to do. With all being said, you also have to make sure that there is no injuries there, you don't have any back problems. If that's the case, then yes, you can go at it, make sure that you are doing some of that strongman type exercises or movements there. And then also some cardiovascular work just for better heart strength when it comes down to pumping blood to the surrounding tissue, to decreasing high blood pressure, and then also allowing for cognitive functioning to be reproduced. So with that, you wanna do your strength training at least 3, maybe 4 times a week, and then do 2 to 3 aerobic sessions a week as well. You wanna primarily stay away from, especially if you have joint issues, with any high dynamic or plyometric movements. If you are suffering from any type of tendonitis or tendinopathy, you do want to stay away from that. Instead, opt more towards isometrics and more slower eccentric movements that are going to, one, eliminate or reduce that feeling of pain, but also get you stronger and then allow for you to get into those movements down the line. But for the most part, increasing your functionality of movement, increasing your mobility and your stability, and then also increasing your strength with functional movements like strongman implements. All right, so that's my answer for you on that one. Cam_McLeven asks, what do you do when you hit a wall and experience low mood? When do you know to give yourself a break or to keep pushing on? When you're talking about low mood, I'm assuming you mean not having the inspiration or the drive to get to the gym or to get to your work or whatever. If it gets to a point to where you're feeling anxious or you're feeling depressed or you're feeling stressed out over amounts of stress, that's gonna be a negative effect. So what you wanna do is take a step back, you know, detach from that situation, give yourself a break, but do something different. Still progress, but progress in a different way. So take yourself out of that particular situation, do something that's going to still progress you and add value to your life, but you can take a break from that particular aspect of your life because it is going to be a detriment to your overall living. So detach yourself, find something else that's different but also progressing, and then you can work on getting back to it if necessary. Okay, last one is going to be from Mr. _7. or SE7EN. You guys got some crazy Instagram names, bro. You're killing me. How to find motivation to work on myself if most of the time I'm alone. I know that personal trainer would be great, at least someone that is looking after me and gives me some advice, but how to not lose myself in daily routine and work and find that regularity and motivation for training to get myself back in shape. So, this is a good one. So what I'm primarily gonna tell you right now is not about looking at the end result and not looking at the instant gratification. What many people do nowadays is they come up with a goal and they only look at the goal as a means to an end. The true goal is to keep going further. And what I mean by that is you need to set goals when it comes down to micro and macro goals that are going to increase your life over time. The only way you can do that is to put together certain habits that is going to lead you to those particular goals. So you have to develop the habit to get to the gym, even if it's only for 1 to 5 minutes. You got to the gym, you got the work in. Now you can build upon that. Don't set these astronomical goals in the beginning, trying to do hours and hours of training when you know that's not sustainable. So what I would say is develop your habits first that will ultimately lead you to the end goal. But you cannot look at the scoreboard on a daily basis. You have to keep running the plays. You have to keep the strategies going. And the way you do that is to make sure you're maintaining your habits each and every day. With habits being placed, you can help yourself get to where you want to be. And that will allow you to have more quote unquote motivation. Because for me, motivation is something that gets you going, but it doesn't keep you there. With a habit, I make it a habit to do these podcasts. I make it a habit to do YouTube videos. I make it a habit to consistently learn from other individuals that are going to help bring up my value. And I consistently make it a habit to train my body and my mind. There's no other choice. The choice is already there. It's set in stone. That's just me running through the place. So just make sure that you have that. That's the last question I'm going to do for today. It's episode 57. Let me know if you want me to do any more like this. And I'll see you again next time. Peace.